Yeah, that last song, just one of those lines I had to write down. On the cross of Jesus Christ, and it said, on that day he comes in glory to reveal the fullness of his reign. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. So we're talking about the end of the age, things getting ready for Christ's return. Amen. Matter of fact, let's go straight there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And we're going to start in verse 16 and go to verse 20. If you have your Bibles, would you flip there with me? Glory to God. It's a beautiful day this morning. How many have been enjoying some spring weather? Amen. It's been rather nice. We had some rain and then it clears all out. I like to know, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. I simply choose to be glad and rejoice in it. Thanking the Lord for what he's done. Walking in this day. He's given us this day and it's beautiful. Matthew 28, here Jesus is risen from the grave. He's meeting with his disciples. He's giving them some final instructions before he ascends to the right hand of the Father. Amen. So he's given this instruction. This is famous. We know it as the Great Commission. But Matthew 28, 16, he says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And if you look through there, there's a couple of times he mentioned it, that, hey, go ahead and meet me or I'm going to meet you after the resurrection. So they go back to Galilee where they're from. Not to the Temple Mount, not in Jerusalem, but back to Galilee, where he did a lot of his ministry up around that lake. Go to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshiped him. But then it says this, but some doubted. Wow. I mean, these guys had been with him now. These are the disciples. They had been with him now for these 3 years, following him, seeing the miracles, seeing him preach, raise the dead, open blind eyes, cast out devils. They've seen the power of God flowing through him, but yet it's still all a mystery to them. We talked about being born again, the mystery. It's still quite a mystery in their minds. They don't fully understand. Again, their idea of the Messiah was to raise an army and whip the Romans and get Israel free again. But now the crucifixion, the resurrection, and all of this, now they go out and the Bible says, you know, he's telling them, he's talking to them, and even some are doubting in their minds right now. You know, it's just amazing to them. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. I'm just going back and remind you that God gave mankind, he gave man dominion to rule and reign over the earth. He put man in charge. Adam lost it to Satan, and Jesus, the man, as a man, won it back. Now, he's a man that hadn't fallen to sin. He's a man that's the fullness of God is with him and in him. He's God in the flesh, but he's fully man, and he defeated Satan where Adam didn't. Jesus did. So now all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All authority, everything has been given to Christ. Man lost it, but Christ won it back for us. Now watch what he says next. Praise the Lord. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. He's meeting with his disciples right there. He's in his resurrected body. He's speaking to this. And this is what he says. Therefore, okay, I heard a preacher say once, and I think it's good. When you see a therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. Therefore, what therefore? Therefore, all authority has been given to me, so I'm telling you this next line. The reason I'm going to tell you this next line with authority, because all authority has been given to me. Now you are with me. Let me tell you what to do with that authority, because I'm giving it to you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, I want you go and make disciples of all nations. Everybody say all nations. All nations. That word described there when he spoke it at the time of the day was written in the Greek is all ethnos, Greek, ethnic groups. When we're talking about nations here, he's not just talking about borders of countries, the different countries, but when I go to Africa, inside one nation of Uganda is 72 different languages and 72 different tribes, 72 different people groups. So he's saying, go to all the people groups. Hey, if you've hit China and Christianity is spreading around the big city of Beijing, also go to the people groups in northern and southern and eastern China. Go to all the different ethnic and people groups that's out there. Praise the Lord. And take this gospel. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, it doesn't just say make converts. You don't just preach the gospel and try to get folks saved, but you used to preach the gospel and continue preaching and teaching the gospel, making disciples, teaching them everything. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Praise God, we just had like 20 folks get baptized in here the other day. Amen? Amen. That's something to always rejoice about. Amen? And where's that 20? How many of you are back today? Amen? So okay, praise God, it's not just about coming and being born again, but it's continuing making disciples, because we're not just to teach you the good news that Jesus died for your sin and rose again. We're to continue to teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So being born again as an infant baby in Christ, now it's time to grow up in your salvation, grow up in the truth of this word, and continue in the word. That's why we encourage new folks, visitors, stuff. Get plugged in a Sunday school class. Get plugged in one of our life groups. Meet together with other. Read for yourself. We have a whole section on that bookshelf out there, River of Life 101, 102, 201, 202. We want you to take those books, become discipled, learn and grow in it. Amen? It's one thing to come in here on Sunday. It's another thing when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and you say, you know what? I'm grown now. I want to know for myself. I want to hear the word, but I want to study and develop my relationship with my Lord as I grow in him and talk to him and seek him and hear his word. Yes. Amen. So he tells us, and this is a commission given not to those 12 disciples, but to everyone who will become a disciple through their word. So this is plan A of Jesus had for the kingdom. He poured his life for 3 years really into closely to those 12 and to all the others he spoke to and preached to. And he believed it was his plan to teach them, to preach them, that they would become part of him. He would fill them with his spirit, and they would take this commission and take it all the way to every nation. And he said, hey, that's plan A, and he did not have a plan B. Well, guess what? Plan A is working. This gospel they've been started preaching 2,000 years ago has come all the way to a little country town of Winnsboro, Louisiana. It's come all the way. It's going to nation. And just like he said, go into every ethnic group. Guess what? It's happening. Hey, the church is not, you know, some small, weak thing that's not growing, that's not spreading. No, it's been spreading for 2,000 years, and you are a part of it. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Praise God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a triune God, and these three are one. There's one God, and he manifests, shows himself to three ways so that we can see, feel, and understand him better. Amen? Teaching them to obey everything, and then he says, and surely I am with you always, but I want to focus on the last phrase today. Y'all okay? The very last phrase of the Great Commission, I want to focus to the very end of the age. The King James says it to the end of the world, to the end of this world as we know it. The end of this age, this church age, when we're taking the gospel to every nation. When we're going to the end of, hey, I'm going to be with you, to the very end of the age, the end of this time. This time when we're taking the gospel to every nation and every tongue, to every ethnic group, and then Jesus is going to return. Everybody say the end. So there is an end. There's an end of the age. Okay? And we're focusing on that. Take this to the end, the very end of the age. Now flip with me in Matthew. Flip back a few pages to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 24, a famous parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. So he's getting into the people he's talking to what the kingdom is like. And he's using parables, he's using stories of earthly things they can understand to teach them heavenly things. And this is a simple parable. If you've been in the body of Christ for any time, you've probably heard it 100 times. There's something I want to share with it. It says, then he told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. The owners came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from? And Jesus, telling this story, said, an enemy did this. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? And look what he says. No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, put them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. The disciples asked about it. Verse 36, when he left the crowd and went to the house, his disciples came to him and said, explain to this parable about the weeds in the field. So we have the direct explanation. It doesn't have to be interpreted from a bunch of theologians. Jesus teaches and tells us what it means right here. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. All of you in here, if you've been born again, praise the Lord, that's who you are. He sowed that good seed. We've received Christ. We've been born again. If you haven't been born again, you're invited to hear the word and believe. Okay? Praise the Lord. The field is the word. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. All right? Let's point out right there, not everyone is a son of God. Not everyone is a son of Christ, son of the kingdom. There's sons of God and there's sons of the evil one. We're all created beings from God, but that doesn't make you in his family or his son. When we're created and we're born, we have the sin of Adam in us and it manifests in our life. It's not till we're born again that we become sons of the kingdom. Amen? So this is real clear. All right? An enemy, the Bible says the weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. There is a devil. The harvest is the end of the age. There's that word again, the end of the age. Hey, we're in an age that's going to come to an end. There's an end of the age. There's an end of the age when the harvest is coming. Okay? It's very clear. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at that, their word again, the end of the age, or the end, the King James says, end of this world. All right? The Son of Man will send out of his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. He will weed out of his kingdom. He's making a clear parable. It's a farming community. It's a farming community here. You know what it looks like when they gather the wheat and they burn the chaff. You know what that looks like. Hey, Jesus is saying, I'm going to gather the wheat into bundles to store in my barn, and I'm going to gather the weeds and burn them. But right now, they're both growing together. Guys, my point is, I want to share this with you. Jesus Christ came to a fallen, sinful world. He did what he needed to do to reconcile man to God. And then he's sending the word out, sending his church out to every nation and every tongue for whosoever will to believe in the word and receive the word and be born again. But while that's going out all over the world, and it's even come here and it's gone to China in the same place, the world is still a fallen world. We get born again of the kingdom and we're living in this world, but we're not of this world, and it's still a fallen world, and the seeds that the enemy has sown, the sons and daughters of the evil one, are still all around us, okay? And he's given us this great commission to go into all the world, to go to the darkness, to go to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, the people around you, because the light of the world has come and the light has shined in your heart. You've been born again of the kingdom of God, and now that light is in you. And Jesus says, now you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. I'm trying to cause us to understand there's things that are happening and progressing in the kingdom of God, and the devil's time is short, and he is on an onslaught. Things are going on, and I'm telling you, praise the Lord, we have a job to do. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and tell the world, to testify what God has done for you. Tell your family, tell your friends, praise the Lord, because there's coming a time that's going to be the end of the age. Amen? And we've been commissioned, but not only commissioned, we've been commissioned and, praise God, endued with his power to be able to carry out his will. Remember, I tell you, this is plan A, and there is no plan B. Christ is very confident that what he's put in us is going to get the job done, to go to all the world. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, the Son of Man, verse 41, will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Now watch what happens. This is real. Verse 42. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, praise God, forever. He who has an ear, let him hear. In other words, hey, I told you this. Some have trouble grasping this. Some don't want to hear it. Some don't want to think and know that there's an end of the age and there's a harvest and there's a time and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But he says, he who has an ear to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying, listen. Amen? And listen for a reason. I tell folks a lot of this when people don't understand, and they think, you know, how could there be a hell, be a fiery furnace? So even the Bible says death and hell shall give up their dead, and they'll stand before the great white throne judgment. And judgment will come. Those who are not born again, they have not received Christ's payment for their sins. They're not saved from the wrath to come. We are. But there's a judgment and a wrath that's coming for those who have rejected the Son. And there's hell. And then there, after that, there's the lake of fire forever. And some would say, well, wow, that seems, you know, so mean, so tough. Is God cruel? No, God's loving. He loved the world that while we were yet sinners, he gave his only Son. But those who reject him, let me say, I use this example all the time. I have kids and daughters, and come up, they get to be 16, they start driving. We still live in an evil world. And I tell some folks, if I could root out the bad guys who are driving drunk or driving while they're doing acid or Klonopin or cocaine or crystal meth, if I can get them off my roads, praise the Lord, so they won't hit my daughter, and remove them and put them in prison or in Fresh Start, would that be an act of meanness toward them or love for my daughter? Think about it.
Love for everybody.
Okay. Would that be an act? Would that be cruel to remove the bad guys? Right now, praise the Lord, God shakes the bad guys, puts them in a place, whether it be prison or something, and gives them a chance to wake up. How many of us had more than one chance before we came to the Lord? How many had several dozen? Okay, so his mercy is new each morning. And as his mercy is new, so right now, praise God, he exposes our sin, brings it to a place. But you know what? There's coming a time where my spirit will not always strive with man. There's coming a time just like in the days of Noah, when Noah was preaching it for 100 years while he was building the ark. But when the rain started coming, his family got in, the others chose not to. And the Bible said that Noah and his family did not shut the door of the ark. It says God shut it. And once it was shut, no matter how hard they begged and cried and said, Noah, we're sorry we made fun of you for 100 years. Noah, we're sorry we didn't listen. Noah, let us in. Bang. It didn't. They could find no mercy, for the time was over. In the same way, there's coming a time where the end of this age, where Jesus said he'll send out his harvesters and he'll gather the weeds of the world first, sown by the devil, sons and daughters of the evil one who have rejected with the fist of their heart in the face of God, saying, no, I've heard it, I saw, but I did not want to listen. I did not want to come to you. I did not think I'm so bad a sinner. I don't need you to save me. I reject you. There's coming a time where Jesus will send out the angels. They'll gather those who rejected Christ and burn them forever. That's in the Word. It's real. And then he'll gather those who said yes to Christ, who've been born into his family, and praise God, as the song sang, wow, to reveal the fullness of his reign. You know, a lot of people today can't see the fullness of Jesus' reign. We see it in our spirit, but sometimes we don't see it in our town or in our state or in our federal government. We don't see the fullness of his reign. We don't see the fullness of the reign of his reign when the UN's meeting, talking about what to do with the nations. We don't see the fullness of his reign right now in France, where they're protesting in the street, and a lot of those, you know, Frenchies think they want communism over capitalism. We don't see the fullness of the reign in one government after another with what's going on. We can't see the fullness of his reign on this earth yet, but there's coming a time, like we sing, when Jesus returns, and we're going to see the fullness of his reign. And what does it look like? Praise the Lord. To those who rejected him, it looks bad forever. But to those of us who've received him, church, he's going to lavish the full extent of his love on us in such a way where he's going to remove everything that will hinder his love flowing to you, everything that causes harm, everything that causes sin. You know, my children, my daughters, my sister, I want to remove the stickers of the backyard so they can run around. I took out the dangerous things so they can play. I want them to enjoy the sunshine in the yard. Man, that was my thing. Some of you grow up farming with your father or hunting or fishing. I grew up in the city in Orlando. My dad was an athlete. You know, we played ball. We played soccer, football, baseball. And so that kind of becomes who you are, what you do. And with my children, I grew up playing ball in the backyard every day. Kicking the ball, throwing a ball, coaching this, coaching that. But man, we want to remove the obstacles, remove the problem, let them enjoy, remove some of the struggles. So one day, our loving Father is going to remove everything that can harm you. He's going to remove pain. He's going to remove sickness. He's removing death. He's removing all the bad guys. Sometimes you get tired of working with the bad guys. Hello? You got any coworkers that you know, God, I want to get them saved or get them moved. Okay? You know, one day our Lord loves us so much, he's going to remove everything that causes harm. And it's not because he's mean, it's because he's a loving Father. And we're going to enjoy the fullness of Jesus' reign forever. Forever. In a beautiful, this age over, this earth, this world over, a new heaven and a new earth, this one made new, and it's going to be beautiful. The bayous are going to be spring fed and clear. A couple of weeks, I'm going down to visit my daughter, Jessie, in Yulee, Florida, northeast corner. I'm going to see the East Coast. Go down in the middle, visit my mother. While we're there, we're going to spend a couple nights at Wakaiva Springs State Park, right in Central Florida, where I grew up on some weekends and days, getting my brother's canoe and going up there. And sometimes we'd snorkel. You know, instead of using a float or a kayak, we'd just use mass snorkeling fins and just float down that crystal clear water coming up from a spring. You could see the bottom, okay? You can go into just clear. And I'm amazed. I'm going to go back there. And there's a swimming area. And you get, and you can see, look down deep, and about 15 feet deep, there's this rush of water coming up, and it just kind of boils up, and it's crystal clear, and it's coming from the depths of the earth. And it's when I was there at 11, 12, 15, 17 going up, and you know what? When I go back, this it's still there, and it's still flowing just as strong. The springs always amazed me. Praise the Lord. That's why I loved when we decided to name this the River of Life. A water coming up, praise the Lord. We sang it today, spring up, O well. It's rivers of living water rising up and flowing out, clear as crystal, completely pure, not corrupted from anything of the world yet, because it's just coming from its source, amen? Beautiful. We dive down there and open your eyes without a mask. Glorious. A new heaven and a new earth. So Jesus, there's going to be an end to this age. And praise God, there's a harvest, and it's real and it's true. And we're living in the time between great events of his resurrection and his return. Now, flip with me now to Matthew 13. Let's look at a few more verses, how he describes this. Verse 36 this time. No, excuse me. Let's go to verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore. You know, they don't let us fish with nets much anymore, do they? How many of you guys still fit? No, I'm not going to ask you that. Okay. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. There it is again. Who's saying this? Jesus, the Son of God, is saying this. He's saying, we're going to harvest it all, and I'm going to gather the good and throw the bad out. Folks, this is real. This is Christ saying this. He died for those bad fish too. He loves them, but they rejected him. And he won't make you go to heaven. He won't make you follow him. He won't make you be eternally rewarded forever. He won't make you choose him. It's got to be free will, free choice. And it's such good news. But there's coming a time of the end. And the time to reach to your family and finally tell them your testimony and be bold enough to go confront them. Well, it's, you know, I believe we should just, you know, live it out before them and not say anything. Hey. Bible says, preach the word, teach the word, speak it, boldly proclaim it. There's something about speaking it, sharing your testimony, telling them. And yes, if somebody who feels like they don't want to hear it, can it be confrontational? Yes, get over it and buck up, be a man. Speak the word. The words you speak are spirit and life. And even though their mind might reject it, you're speaking to their spirit, and a seed might be planted, or you might be watering somebody else's seed that went in. And praise God, speak the word, boldly complain. It is confrontational. This gospel, hey, the world's going to hate you because of it. But don't let that cause you to back down and be afraid. You've been commissioned. All authority's been given by God to Jesus. And now you are the body of Christ. And you've been commissioned to go into all nations and speak it, proclaim it, teach it, say it. Yes. Hallelujah. He said he chose this way by the foolishness of preaching. It says, the world thinks it's foolishness, and he chose this way. Amen. We have a role to do. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it to the shore. They sat down, collected the good fish in baskets, and threw the bad away. This is how it will be. Verse 49, at the what? Everybody say it. At the end of the age. Everybody say there's an end coming. Now, we're 2,000 years into it. 2018. Wow. Years. Where did those 18 years go, man? 2018 years into this thing. We're a lot closer than we were 20 years ago. Okay. I like to keep watch and seeing what's happening. I like to get ready. Praise the Lord. Then the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, at this church, you know I mainly focus on the good news of God's grace. And mainly I'm teaching, praise God, I'm teaching the saints. But praise God, we saints need to know this too, so we'll have compassion on the lost and want to go reach them. Amen? We need to understand there's an end coming, and we've been given a job to do, and we need to know that hell is real, and there's a lake of fire, and they will be thrown there, even if they're your family member. Hello? Even if they're your friend. How horrible would it be when your friend or family member gets there and says, why didn't he tell me? You say, well, I tried. But you only tried once. Why didn't he tell me again? Why didn't he write me? Why didn't he call me? Why didn't he show me? You know, it's plan A. There is no plan B to save your son, your daughter, your loved one. We're the plan, church. We are the plan. There'll be weeping. Then he says, verse 51, have you understood all these things? He's preaching it, he's teaching it, and he says, have you understood all these things? Flip with me now to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a famous passage for Jesus talking about the end times. We're going to start in verse 3. Matthew 24, 3. Are you there? Yes. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, I'm doing this study. I just went and circled through the New Testament. How many times it says end of the age, end of the age, end of the age? There's coming an end of the age. All right? And he didn't want us to blow it off and say, well, let's don't think about it. No, he wrote it down so we will think about it. Amen? He wrote it there so we'll preach it, so we'll teach it, so we'll think about it, so we'll meditate on it, so we'll understand it. There's coming an end of the age. Then, verse 14 says this. Well, we'll go back up to verse 9. Matthew 24, 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to be put to death. Folks, that's happening in more countries than you realize right now. You'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. The world's not, as you preach Christ is the only way, the world's going to hate us more and more. More and more. One day our government's going to turn on us. They already have in some ways. Okay? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to be put to death. Do you know out of 12 disciples, 11 of them were martyred, killed for their faith? And John, he was exiled to the island of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. Okay? Because they tried to kill him and he wouldn't die. Okay? All right. At that time, many will turn. Watch this, verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Lots of deception of false religions going on right now. Some quack named Joseph Smith thought he had a vision from God. It was a vision from an angel. Came up with the whole Mormon church. It's a cult. I'm not ashamed to tell you the truth. Okay? There's lots of cults out there. Folks think the biggest deception isn't him appearing as the devil and trying to get you to go join a cult worship where they put a pentagram and you stand in the middle and sacrifice black cats and stuff. Most folks realize that's evil. His biggest deception is appearing as an angel of light. Amen. Getting us into religion and false religion. How do you tell a cult? Any religion that makes Christ out to be less than he is a cult. If Jesus is the Son of God in the only way, it's right. If Jesus plus other things and, you know, it's not him, or they make him out to be less than the Savior or less than the Son of God, that's how John tells us in the book of John how you decide a cult. If Jesus isn't lifted up for being God in the flesh, okay? Islam teaches Jesus was real, but they don't teach he's God. Amen? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. You'll be hated. They'll turn on you. False prophets appear, deceive many. Because of the increase, watch this, verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. The increase of wickedness. Folks, I believe we're seeing that. I know, man, you know, this has been preached for years, for 2,000 years, but folks, it doesn't nullify the fact that it's real. You know, when World War I was about to happen and all these nations were gathering, there was a lot of preachers and mamas and grandpas teaching their kids, hey, this could be it. You know, and it was horrible. And then World War II happened, and man, a lot of folks were saying, hey, this is Armageddon. Look at all these nations. Now they got tanks, and now they got this. This is it. And there's been wars and rumors of wars for a long time now, and there's been famines and pestilence. That doesn't mean, well, it wasn't during World War I, it wasn't during World War II, it wasn't during the Korean War, you know, so now we don't need to look and concern. No, no, he wants us to watch. He wants us to be ready, and he wants us to realize there's an end of the age, and he wants you to be a part of getting the gospel out. He wants you to be a part of growing in him, of recognizing, hey, I'm in this world, but there's weeds growing up all around me. Maybe it's some of my coworkers. Maybe it's some of my family. Maybe it's some of my college friends. Maybe it's some of my high school friends. I got to recognize I'm in this world, and most folks are not born again. So we're walking in this world, and we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we belong to a different kingdom, and you can't associate with everybody as your confidant, your friend. You have to realize and preach and teach and witness, but you love them, but you're not a part of that group. You're a part of the body of Christ, and it's different. We go to the lost, we go to the sinner, but we don't go to the sinner to become a sinner. We go to the sinner to turn them on to the light. We don't compromise with that. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the love will grow cold because of the increase of wickedness. There's an increase of wickedness right now. You know, there's a lot of men today, Christians, secular, whatever, that would probably growing up, because of their parents' upbringing and their grandparents, they would never go into a store and go to that aisle in the back there and sneak a Playboy magazine and buy it and check out. They would be too embarrassed and too ashamed. But when it pops up on their phone and they didn't even ask for it, and there it is, sometimes in their weakness of their flesh, or maybe they're having a fight with their wife, or maybe them and their girlfriend, they're having a struggle, whatever, and they click on it, I'm telling you, and it's spread out all over, not just men, but women. There's lust and all kind of evil, even our kids. Hey, are you aware what your kids are looking at? There's the same junk that come on your phone might be coming to them. We need to keep up with that, church. Some of them aren't strong enough to handle it. You might have been walking into this in a while, and you got your teenage daughter, you're buying her a phone when she's 12, 13, and you don't know what's coming across there. Have you ever checked? You're the priest of your house, okay? You control. You're the priest of the house in the name of the high priest, and we're there to protect our kids from the evil till they're strong enough to make their own decisions. Hello? There's a bunch of teenagers mad at me right now. I'm telling your parents to get a hold of your phone. Start looking at it. Start checking on it. There's evil out there. There's an increase of wickedness, and we don't want to just hand them any. Hey, you don't want to hand them the TV with all the HBO shows and not go look and see what they're watching, and they're watching R-rated movies and who knows what, and there's people fornicating, and they're making it out to be good, and that goes in their brain and in their brain and in their brain, and then you wonder why she's pregnant when she's 17. Hello? You're the priest of your house. There's evil in the world. Buck up and take charge. We're to train them up in the way they should go and get that strong in them. But one day, real soon, they're going to be released in their college and the world, and they better be strong because the evil is out there. I'm telling you, church, the wheat and the tares are growing up together. And sometimes there's 10 wheat to it. There's 10 tares to one seed of the righteous. Doesn't the Bible say broad is the way that leads to destruction? And many, I'm quoting King James now, there be that go that way. Narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to life, and few find it. What's he saying? Relatively speaking, in light of the billions of on earth, 7 billion now, relatively speaking, we're the few. The majority of people rejecting him. Your friends, coworkers. Hey, we're in the world. We're to share the light, but you're not supposed to hang out with the darkness and do like they do. Hey, just because everybody's going to that movie doesn't mean we have to. We want him to flow through us. Let's move on. I'm not to where I want to be yet. This is just the introduction. I'm working on the introduction. Okay? Now, look at Matthew 24. Go to verse 42. Therefore, I'm going to back up a little, 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. I can explain that on a difference, kind of like the Jewish wedding in that day. They were engaged, they're getting ready, and the Father, you know, told the Son, hey, go make a place ready for her. And when it's ready, I'll come say, okay, Son, you got it ready. Go get your bride. So the Son didn't even know, okay? And the bride's getting ready. And all the groomsmen and her maids, her attendants are ready too, having to have their lamps with oil because they're not sure what day the groom's coming. In the same way, God's going to tell Jesus, it's time, go get your bride. And we need to be ready. When he comes, it said, for the bride has made herself ready. Everything we need to get ready has been given. And we're to take this gospel to every nation, every group. We could hasten his coming by getting the job done. Okay? Taking this gospel of kingdom to every nation. Right now, we're saying, Lord, have mercy. Give us more time to get this gospel out. I still got family, friends. We still got nations to go to. But there's coming a time when the governments and the earth's shaken with all kind of things that the bride's going to say this together as one. Come, Lord Jesus. We're all going to be ready. We're going to say, come, Lord, and he's going to come. The Father's going to release him to come get his bride. I'm just saying there's an end of the age, church. We need to be aware. Matthew 24, verse 42. Therefore, keep watch. Everybody say, keep watch. Keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house would have known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you don't expect him. So he's saying he's coming like a thief in the night. The thief doesn't tell you what hour he's coming or what day, right? He's saying, hey, he's coming like a thief in the night that the rest of the world won't recognize, but he wants us, his church, to be watching and ready. We won't know the day or the hour, but we know things are getting close. We know things are speeding up, and we're watching. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God gave me a vision. I'm standing like a man on the watchtower. Praise God. They built walls around the city, and there was a watchtower, and somebody was standing there. And before the Feast of Trumpets, they didn't know exactly what day. They knew the new moon was about to come, but back then, they didn't know exactly when the first slither of the new moon would be seen. So they had a watchman on the tower, and when he saw the moon, he sounded the trumpet, and everybody got ready. The Feast of Trumpets was starting. In the same way, I'm standing on the tower, I'm looking out at the world, I'm reading and studying and watching the news and saying, hey, praise the Lord, I don't know the day or the hour, but I know we're getting close, and he wants us all to be watching and be ready. He doesn't want us to blow it off and say, well, I don't understand the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel, so that's just for whatever happens going to happen, and I'll do this. That's not what he said to do. He said to watch and be ready. So we're watching, and sometimes we need to talk about it and discuss it and open this word to it. Now, go with me to Revelation verse 13, and I'm going to ask Bo to get that video ready. Revelation 13. If you've been in church for any years, you've heard this. If you're new to us or new to Fresh Start or missed a few Sunday school lessons in your last 10 years, you might have missed this. The Bible says in Revelation 13, it starts talking about the Antichrist. It starts talking about a person rising up through the sea of humanity. And just everything God has, the devil has counterfeit. God was incarnate in a man, Jesus. The devil wants to do the same. He's going to have a man that he's going to fill with his power, and he wants to do it for his glory. The devil wants to do that. He's jealous of God. Revelation 13, verse 15. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image of to be killed. So just like there's a counterfeit Christ, there's a counterfeit Holy Spirit, there's the beast and there's the false prophet. And the false prophet tries to get the world to worship the beast. Okay? Just like the Holy Spirit is in the earth showing people to Christ, the false prophet will try to get the world to worship and fall for the Antichrist, the beast. Bible says clearly, verse 16, he, the Antichrist, forced everyone, small or great, rich or poor, free or slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he had the mark. We've talked about this a number of times over the years here, church. We know and understand that the technology is there for it. You know, you can, I've said it a dozen times, you can go to Walmart and instead of using cash, you know, they can scan your Cheerios and then they can scan your card, and immediately it takes, you know, $2 out of your account and puts it in theirs, just like that. There's really no need for cash anymore. Most of our young people don't even carry it. Okay, you got a debit card they have, so you can look at their bank account, right? Okay, so there you go. So you can put money in it, take it out when you need to, whatever. Anyway, so it's already there. Now, got that video ready, Bo? I want to show you what's happening. Bonner called me last week, and he said, hey, I just saw something on Christian news. And so I checked it out. I looked it up. And at first I'm thinking, man, this is just one of those another, you know, hyper scare people type thing, this end of the world thing, something like that. But I looked into it a little closer, and I went to the Indian government website. And then I talked to my friend Apostle James, who's been working in India for 20 years. He's from there. And he confirmed that this is happening. Go ahead, turn the lights down low. And start it. This is just about a minute and a half.
Christian population who are being compelled by the Hindu-controlled Indian government to have their fingers, faces, and eyes scanned so that they can be enrolled in Aadhaar. Aadhaar is the massive biometric identification registration project of the Indian government. It is administered by the unique identification authority of India. Aadhaar, which means foundation, is a 12-digit unique identity number for every Indian citizen. A unique number is assigned to each citizen when their biometric data is scanned and entered into the national database. Aadhaar is the largest and most sophisticated biometric identification system in the world. All 1.2 billion Indians will be scanned and assigned a number, and the project is almost completed. It is mandatory that bank accounts in India be linked to Aadhaar. In addition to banking services, all government services are linked to Aadhaar too. When the system is finished, it will be impossible to buy and sell in India without participation in Aadhaar. Prime Minister Modi, a radical Hindu, is pushing hard for India to become the first cashless society on the planet. In 2016, Mr. Modi's Hindu government banned 85% of India's currency in circulation in a brazen attempt to compel people to accept a cashless society. Imagine here in America, the United States government suddenly banning all paper money and coins except quarters and $1 bills. With almost every citizen scanned into the database, Aadhaar is only the beginning in India.
Now, I share that with you. I don't believe this Aadhaar system is the mark of the beast. I just believe in understanding that if India, now I've been to India, they've got villages all across. It's the most populated nation besides China. 1.34 billion, and they've already registered 1.2, you know, it's 80% done. And what that is if you're in India, it's kind of like in our welfare system here, you have to have a Social Security card to get Social Security. You have to have a Social Security number to get Social Security disability. Well, now any kind of food stamps or whatever is all on a card that they scan. Well, in the United States, there's so many Christians that understand the mark of the beast, and we don't want to stand for, and we're pressuring our government. We don't want some national security system that we all sign up with our fingerprint or our eye. We're saying no. Well, so they did it in India, where most of them are Hindus, and they haven't read Revelation. They don't know anything about this. And they've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker, where they're going and they're being registered because they can't get any assistance from the government now without being registered. One day it'll move to can't buy or sell. It's not that they still have cash on the streets and so, but they're moving gradually toward that. Okay, but right now they're registering. And so I talked to James, Apostle James, who we've been working on. Hey, this church, you helped him build 100 startup churches in villages over there because he knows his time is short. This new Prime Minister Modi banned me from going back to India when he found out I was a pastor. He's evil, Hindu, radical. There's now 7 states in northern India that have made a law in their government written down that if you convert someone out of Hinduism to Christianity or Muslim or something else, you could be put to death. Okay? And with those laws now, it gives the Hindu radicals, it gives them a bold to go and to persecute Christians because the governments in those states of India turn the other way when Christians are killed or persecuted. They don't take them to court. They don't try them. They don't know. So if you're a Hindu mob and you want to go burn a church, they do. So James knows time's short, and he knows. So I asked him on the phone the other day, hey, I just heard this Aadhaar thing. I looked it up. So I went, Bonner, and I looked it up on the Indian government. And sure enough, it's all across there. How to register, click here to sign up, this, that, and the other, and what districts they're in, and all this kind of stuff. And it's been going on since 2009. But what's amazing to me, it hasn't been on Fox News. It hasn't been on our television. It's like the world is moving toward the mark of the beast, and most folks don't even know it. Okay? So if India can go to this system, and they can all be marked on their finger, or their retina is the way they're doing it now, couldn't one day, if the United States government, if the The Christians voting, quit voting. The other sides take control, start yielding our sovereignty over to the new world order. One day, with turmoil in the land, the people will be looking for an answer. And that's when Satan's going to rise up as the Antichrist, and he's going to try to create a one world global type monetary system, and everybody will be registered, and everybody will use it to buy and sell. Okay? I'm just saying, the news is telling me that if it can happen that fast in India without us knowing, how many other European countries are already moving toward that, and they are, and how many times in the United States has it already been suggested and put up on a bill, and the Christians rose up and called our senator and said, vote no. But one day, the Bible says in Thessalonians that he that hindereth will be removed. What is hindering all evil from breaking out in your school or in your family or in your town or in your state? The presence of God in us, the church.
Brother Dave,
yes, sir.
They say all that information going back to the United Nations.
And all the info, yeah, going back to the UN. So more and more, as governments do this, the heads of those governments meet up together at the UN and other places. And I'm telling you, there's more weeds than there are wheat. Now, the weeds aren't more powerful than us, okay? I'm just saying, hey, it's growing together. There's going to be a harvest at the end of the age. Right now, praise the Lord, is our time, the church, to get the gospel out to every nation and every tongue. I'm encouraging you, church, praise the Lord. The saints are going to win. The light of the gospel is shining in this dark world, and it's far more powerful than that. But sometimes we need to understand the weeds are out there, sons of the enemy, and the devil's real, and there's going to be a time of a harvest, and not everybody's going to make it. The Bible says the majority won't. Not because God doesn't want them to. It's because he gives them a choice. So, you in here that's received Christ as your Savior, Bible tells us, let's talk about this. Let's encourage one another with these words. Let's realize that the kingdom's expanding all over. And while the kingdom's expanding, the darkness is also, there's an increase in wickedness. Church, be ready, be aware that there's an increase of wickedness. Stand strong with your wives, your children. Stand strong with your church, your community. Hey, there's an increase of wickedness, and the light of the gospel is going to shine brighter and brighter. But at the same time, the glory in the kingdom is shining brighter. The wickedness of the earth is also expanding. There's a separation taking place.